In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hi, Joshua.
We wish we could sneak in sometimes, but you're always watching. You're always waiting. Sometimes we like to come in the side door, but that's not always possible.
No. We see Gary's face get happy, so we know you're coming.
Our agreement is that when Gary feels like giggling, that's when we come in. That's how we know. Nice. Our agreement with you is when you feel like giggling, that's when you know we're here. That's when you know that you are able to bring forth anything from the non-physical. That's when you know you're right. That's when you know you have confidence. That's how you know things are always working out for you. That's how you know that the idea you just thought of was brilliant. That's how you know you're worthy of that brilliant idea. That's how you know you can do anything you want in this reality. Because you're never alone. You're always connected to your millions, certainly to your inner self, to source itself, to divine inspiration, to infinite intelligence, to access to ideas that have never been thought before, as long as you're in alignment, as long as you're feeling good, as long as you're connected to who you really are, as long as you're not trying to control the conditions or think things are wrong or try to fix problems or help other people that don't need your help, as long as you're going with the flow of life, all of this is available to you easily, simply. But you have to understand one thing, and without this understanding of this one thing, it will always elude you. And that one thing is that there is no wrong. Until you get to the fundamental basis that there is no wrong in the universe, that you can never be wrong, that you have never been wrong, that you've never made a wrong decision, that no one else is wrong, that no one else has ever been wrong, that no one else will ever be wrong, that the conditions that present themselves to you in your reality are not wrong, that if it's happening to you, it's for you. That there is no wrong. That there is no need for this idea of duality, of good and bad, of right and wrong, of good and evil. Everything is neutral. That's the basis of this reality. That's where you have to land if you want to create the life you prefer. You have to start at that point. Unless you absolutely accept everything that occurs in your reality as good, as right, as for you, as leading you in the direction of that which you want, as in the flow of the stream, until you get to that point of absolute acceptance, you're inconsistently engaging the laws of the universe. And when you inconsistently engage the laws of the universe, you get a little bit of what you like and a little bit of what you don't like. To consistently engage the laws of the universe, you have to start at the basis that there is no wrong. There is no wrong anywhere in this universe. That anything perceived as wrong comes from a limited perspective. And that limited perspective is always based on some belief that's not serving you. You may think that belief is absolutely true. That's a fact. But if that belief is not serving you, then it's simply not serving you. And you can diminish the intensity of that belief. And that is the key to engaging the life that you intended to live. That is why you're here. That is why you're here in this moment right now. You are here to engage the life you intended to live. That unknown force, invisible hand, led you here. That is why you're in this conversation. That is why you're reading the books. That is why you're doing the work. Because there is something inside you that is calling you to more. And if you resist that calling to more, You're going to face manifestation events that point out the fact that you're resisting this calling to more, to who you really are, to being what you intended to be. And so you're all on the path of that right now. You're all on your way there. And for some of you, there is great resistance in that. And for some of you, there is little resistance in that. And the less resistance you are, the quicker you will move towards being who you intended to be. And in that being who you intended to be, you will feel very good. It's a momentum is built. If you be who you really are, then you create this reality that feels good to who you really are. If you be someone you are not, the inauthentic version of you, then the reality will never feel good to you because it's not what you intended. It's always going to be full of contrast, and that contrast is there to lead you to who you really are. The stronger your desire to be who you intended to be, the stronger the pull will be to bring you there, the more manifestation events you will meet up with, as long as you're resisting it. If you're not resisting it, then you'll go there easily, and things will unfold quickly, and you'll face fears, and you'll process those fears. And you'll get to a new vibrational level, and you'll uncover new things. But this is what you intended. This will feel good. You'll learn to understand contrast in a different perspective, knowing that there is no wrong, that nothing's bad is happening to you. You'll get easier and easier and easier. You see, you are living now as relatively limited versions of who you really are. And when you start to live as the authentic being that you are, you will skyrocket. Things will happen so quickly. And in the coming of those things, you will uncover higher level fears. But as you start to process the limiting beliefs that you have now, you'll gain confidence. And that confidence will enable you to handle these fears that you could not handle right now. So you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about where this will lead you. You don't have to worry about, are you good enough? Because by the time you get there, you'll have conquered enough limiting beliefs and enough irrational fears that you'll be ready for whatever's next. You will never be unprepared for what's next because the process prepares you. In this doing, in this working on limiting beliefs and understanding who you really are and thinking about manifestation events and finding the good and the bad and seeing reality as serving you and not against you, you will be able to process these limiting beliefs. You'll be able to conquer these irrational fears, and you will take steps in the direction. Now, when you are not taking steps in the direction, when you are saying no to opportunities, when you are saying no to this and no to that, when you are beating yourself up, when you are procrastinating, when you are not doing that which you are called to do, when you are worried about money or time or anything else in there, when you are worried about these things, that is your resistance. That's the resistance. That is the resistance. That is evidence of the resistance. When you realize those fears and push past that resistance, then you start moving gradually towards who you are. And that movement will feel intense, will feel exhilarating, will make you wonder, will bring up bodily issues. It's all part of the process. It's all good. But if you think, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way because I'm moving too quickly, let's put on the brakes, well, that's more resistance. That's just more resistance. So we're thinking, possibly, could you get into an easy state of being? And you can get in an easy state of being, and the basis of that easy state of being is understanding that there is no wrong. If you can just start with that, then you can build on the foundation of that idea that there is no wrong, that idea that there's a higher perspective, and from that higher perspective, there is no wrong. And the only reason you feel that there's something wrong is because you personally have some limiting belief that is triggered by whatever that is, and that brings up fear. And that's how you know you have some resistance to it. And with that, we would love to talk to you about whatever you would like to talk about.
I would love to start. This is Allison.
Excellent. Hi, Allison.
And I wrote out a question, and I wasn't going to read it word for word, but that 95% of what you just said is reworded my question. I mean, it's the topic of my question. So mind if I read it. Recently, I've been focused less on the law of attraction, the getting of things and the fixing of things, and more on the course of my soul and the realigning to my divine self. And you've said, as many have, that we're infinite beings. We're here to learn and progress and connect. We're all connected. There's nothing separate. There's no right or wrong. You mentioned that. Conditions are not wrong. And we all have free will. So I found that it's very clear that one of my lessons is not trying to fix people. It's an assumption on my part that they need fixing in the first place, and also the fact that I have no idea what their lessons are in their life, you know, if they have an illness or a challenge. That's their path. And the other lesson I think I really have to work on is judgment. I hate it when I do something, I hate when I am judgmental of someone or I see other people being judgmental, and I'm getting much better at consciously being able to stop it, but I still need to work on that. So all of this rambling isn't necessarily the question. I don't really know how, I don't really want a how-to trick. I think more of a lesson on being, capital B, being in being and on being. Being connected, trusting my divine self to guide my having faith and acceptance. I've studied about us being the light of source, and that sets an example is a way to teach instead of words. And of course, this is where I need some more practice. So can you flow some guidance about the way to stay out of the head and in the heart, and universe, using my divine self energy to align more to the echoes of the universe and to stay more authentic, authentic as my divine self?
We are thrilled with this question. We think that this answer is going to provide you with a lot of clarity. You create your reality, do you not?
Yes.
You create through being, do you not?
Yes.
Who you are being creates your reality. So you can be whatever you want to be, and your reality will be formed around that. And so if you choose to perceive that others need your help, then you are trying to create a reality where you are the savior of others. And in that reality, you will have to find others who need saving. And in that reality, you will not feel comfortable because it is not what you intended. You intended to come here and express your love to others unconditionally, which means that you intended to come here and accept them as you as they are. Not to save them or make them better or make them whole, but to realize that they are whole, they are good, they are perfect, there's nothing wrong with them. In perceiving there's something wrong with anyone outside yourself, you can only do that through the activation of a limiting belief, because what you're saying is you're perceiving this person in front of you and the conditions that surround them as being in need of fixing, in need of repair. They are not whole, they are not complete, they are not good, they are not perfect. If you could change them or add something to them or give them something, you perceive that then they would be better. And in that idea of better, you would feel better. So you must realize that it always comes back to you. We want you to say that there's two possibilities, one total acceptance of others and one a limited acceptance of others. You feel good when you can totally accept another. You feel less good when you can only accept them if they change, the limited and conditional acceptance of them. And what you are perceiving is that if you could accept them totally, then you would feel good. And so you try and change them in order for you to feel good. So you must remember that it's never them. It's never ever them. It can't be them. It has to be you. You are the one who wants to feel better. And so in your desire to help them, your desire is for you to feel better. And it's never about them, no matter who it is. Could be your children.
Oh, that's so hard. Parents,
could be your mate. Could be your best friend. Mm-hmm. It's always about you. This is a self-centered universe, which is a good thing. Your feelings are at the center of that universe, and your feelings create your reality. And so if you see someone you perceive that needs your help, you are feeling negative emotion, and you can only bring in urges to change the conditions. And those urges will say, if you're better, I'll feel better. But that's not true. That's not true. The way to feel better is to accept them as they are and feel the relief in that. Okay. And make that your practice in life. And make that your example in life. And make that how you teach others. So here's an example. Actually, we have a better idea. Can you give us an example of someone you think needs your help?
Oh, last night at dinner with my significant other, I thought he was being very overly judgmental of some friends who we had just parted from. And I kept telling him he was being judgmental. And of course, we got into a nice little argument about it. And I kept sitting there thinking, why can't he get this? Why, you know, and I got madder and madder and madder and felt more and more judgmental of him being judgmental. It just was a round circle. I went to bed very unhappy. And I think that's why I've kind of been asking and thinking about this morning.
Sure. So you say if he was less judgmental, you'd feel better.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you're placing your feelings on how he feels.
Right.
And you say, if he feels less judgmental, I'll feel better. And so
or his behavior.
All the power of creation to him. And that doesn't feel
good. So I'm losing my authority.
Well, you're certainly not being authentic. You're certainly not creating your reality intentionally. You're creating it, but just not intentionally. You're certainly not helping him because he doesn't need your help. He's perfect as he is. He's actually a reflection of you anyway. You are perceiving that things outside of you, if those things change, you feel better. And that's not how reality works. That's in opposition to reality. That's backwards. How you feel will come through in the reality that's created outside of you. So if you feel non-judgmental, you will be given instances where you say, being non-judgmental is a good thing. I strive to be non-judgmental. And so here you are being non-judgmental, and you come up with your significant other, and he's being judgmental, and you judge him for being judgmental. So you're as judgmental as he is. He gets to illustrate what that looks like. You don't like it, yet you're still doing it. So that is a perfect manifestation of it. And you can say, instead of, hey, I'd feel better if you were different, you could say, hey, I really appreciate this manifestation event that shows me exactly how I'm being. Because in being, I create my reality. So I'm being judgmental, and therefore I create a judgmental reality. Instead of, I'm being a loving and fully accepting being of pure positive love and acceptance.
Right.
So it's a good thing.
Right.
It's a good thing that you saw him being judgmental, because you can soften your opposition to judgmentalism, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fixing. Be judgmental or unjudgmental. You just be the being who you authentically are, which is a pure positive being of love and acceptance, right?
Pure positive being of love and acceptance.
So you're positive, you're loving and accepting. And so in that authentic version of you, which is also magnificent and limitless and fully worthy, you can practice loving and accepting him for who he is and everyone else who they are. And in that practice of acceptance, you're not judging, which coincidentally gets you exactly what you wanted. Everything you want,
right,
in that authentic version of you, not from fixing flaws. You have no flaws.
Yeah.
You have no flaws. You're perfect as you are. You can't improve. You just want to be who you really are. That's the most brilliant thing you've ever said.
I love it. It's a great reminder. And I keep using the word reflection. You know, I kept sitting there looking at him as I was getting angrier and angrier and thinking, what's reflecting here? What's reflecting? And I knew I was being judgmental, but beyond that, I didn't know.
Right. Excellent. And don't you think he'd enjoy the relationship more if you fully accepted him?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so since you can't control him or anyone else for the conditions, because the conditions as they exist have already been formed, so all you have to do is accept it. And as you accept everything in that the basis of understanding that there is no wrong, as you accept and accept and accept and accept, as you accept, absolutely accept everything as it is, then what is going to come back to you as a reflection of that beingness.
The flowing, easy, authentic Allison.
And you will be fully accepted. And in that full acceptance, you will have the most exquisite experience of love.
So, which is what we are.
Which is what you are. And in that, you're in the flow with access to everything you want to live the life you intended to live.
Excellent. Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who's next?
Hi, Joshua. It's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. I'm just, you know, going to jump in here because something Allison was saying about, you know, how do I get out of the head and into the heart center? And I have been focusing on that a lot as well. So here's the thing. A lot of good stuff has been going on. I've been, you know, I've been in my apartment 3 months. And I've been taking risks. Like I applied for a job that is crazy to apply for. And like I got to the second level, they actually want to fly me in to have an interview. And I just have to get to the States to do that. So, you know, that's, I just take baby steps. So that's great. But what I really want to talk about is my, how I feel around my relationship with my husband, because, you know, it took me a really long time to believe in myself and believe in my desires enough to say I wanted more. So that's why I moved out. And so what's happened in the past 3 months is that I've been mostly staying in the apartment, but like we had Christmas, so I went back to the house. And then my sister came to visit and I went back to the house and I ended up spending like 10 days with the family. And I started feeling, I started thinking about what it would be like to go back. And I knew I didn't want to go back, but I also felt so comfortable. And, you know, I've had some lonely times in this apartment, and I've pushed through fears. And I'm just sort of, like, surprised because I thought I would just, like, revel in my freedom. And I actually appreciate my husband a lot more than I did before. I see him as a generous and beautiful person. I have more love for him than ever. But I don't want to go back and live there, but I kind of like having an apartment and going there sometimes. And since there's no wrong in the universe, I'm just really trying to allow myself to accept that I like having both. And part of me, there are a lot of shoulds. I have a lot of momentum in shoulds. Like I should become financially independent. I should, if I want to be empowered, I should let go of the neediness I have around him taking care of certain things. So I got all those shoulds going on and I really want to step into the present moment and accept exactly where I am, how I feel. And so what I've been doing is just trying to say, well, you know, first of all, meditating, asking my guides, and the guidance I got this morning was stay until you're not having fun. That's what I got. So I knew I had the call tonight, so I'm back in my apartment tonight, and I don't know, I'm just going to take it a day at a time, but I need a little guidance because I really want to move into my heart and get out of my head and all those shoulds.
Let's start with the idea that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. So where are you now?
In the apartment.
Okay. So in this moment is the perfect place for you. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Everything worked out right to bring you to this moment. Every decision you made, every impulse, every inspiration, every step that you took led you to where you are now. So in this life that you have now, you have what you consider a manifestation of freedom. Yes. And what you consider a manifestation of security, and what you consider a manifestation of a perfectly balanced life, where there is some independence and some comfort in the old.
Yeah.
And so what you've created is absolutely perfect. There's not a thing wrong with it. There's what could be wrong with this? The only wrong about it would be your judgment that, well, I am being provided for by the universe, but the universe should probably not give me money from him. It should give me money from my own efforts. Well, that doesn't make any sense. The universe gives you whatever you need through the path of least resistance. Are you going to resist that? That's up to you.
No.
If the universe is providing you with everything you need, and you're getting everything that you need to do whatever you need to do to explore whatever you're exploring at this time, then everything is working out perfectly, and you don't have to bother with the how. You only have to bother with the how are you feeling. And so you say to the universe, I'm feeling like I should do this. And the universe is saying, well, don't feel that. Feel that everything's right. Feel
yeah, you know, you know what it is? I feel like in a way I'm not saying that. I think he thinks that I'm probably going to come back.
Who cares what he thinks? That's not that's not up to you. It's none of your business.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with you. He can think whatever he wants to think. Okay. You're not in charge of him thinking. This is your universe. You're the center of this universe. Whatever you do is for him anyway. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Are you specifically, purposely, intentionally, in written form, manipulating him?
No, I'm being loving and okay. present.
So you haven't written down a plan. I shall talk him out of this amount of money. I shall go over to this amount
no.
of time. So he'll
as
think
a matter,
this and that.
You know what? As a matter of fact, he took a bunch of money out of the savings account to pay for something, that some bills. And it was a manifestation event for me for about an hour. And then I was like, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't even matter. He didn't do it against me. He needed to do it. So no, I mean, there's no, I'm not making any promises. I think yeah. these are a lot of limiting beliefs around what's best for him. Is that we make a complete break. You know, it's all that stuff.
Don't worry about what's best for him. That's his job. He can worry about what's best for him.
Okay.
You think only what you want. What do you want? What do you want in this moment? What do you want in this moment? How wonderful everything is in this moment. Everything in this moment is perfect. How grateful you are to have this moment. How grateful you are to have this apartment. How proud of yourself you are to have made this move. How awesome of it is it that you are now doing what you intended to do and breaking free of any fears and pushing past those fears. And now here's where you are. And from this point, now you can get into alignment and choose the next. Choose what's more. Oh, I was inspired to get this job that I'm totally not qualified for, apparently. Oh, this job is so much bigger than me, apparently.
I'm too old for this job.
I'm too old for this job, apparently. That those are new beliefs you get to work on, right?
Yeah, totally.
Those are always working on these beliefs. That's all you ever have to do. Feel comfortable and happy with what you've manifested and how it's turned out. Feel comfortable and have faith that you always receive what you need to do, whatever you need to do. Push past whatever fears come up and just do those things. And then you will feel fear, and then you will be alone, and you'll think that things aren't going well, and you will have to sit there and process those limiting beliefs. And as you process the limiting beliefs, the fear becomes less and less and less and less, to the point where it becomes silly. And you raise your inspection, you raise your perspective higher and higher and higher, to the point where your fears become silly. And that allows you to push past those fears.
Yeah, you know, I think I was, you said something in one of the podcasts, and it was something about just don't even, you know, like just pretend like you don't care. And I've kind of been doing that, like with the job, I don't care. Like if my husband's mad at me, I don't care. Like I'm going to go do it anyway. And that really helped me, because sometimes, you know, I just get in my head and I just want to move in to my heart and say, okay, Nikki, what's the next thing you want to do? Stop caring about how everybody else feels. And you know, one last thing is yesterday there was some party. I didn't want to go. I was by the fire reading a great book, and I decided to stay at the house. And my husband went to this party, and at the party, somebody said to him, we heard that you moved out of the house or something like that. And he freaked, you know, it was a manifestation event for him. And he came home and he told me that somebody had said that. And I thought, well, I just, you know, at first I felt fear, and then it was like, well, I don't really care. He cares though, but that's not my problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you release your attachment to any specific outcome, then the fear will pop up less. If you yeah. hold firm to some specific outcome,
yeah,
and it doesn't appear as if that outcome is manifesting, then you'll feel fear, you'll drop into a negative state of being, and you'll be bombarded with urges to change conditions. You might change the conditions, and then you might be off on a detour. That isn't what you plan. What you want to do is allow the universe to bring you everything you need when you need it, so that you can move gracefully, comfortably, towards the most elegant manifestation of that which you truly desire. And you don't want to care about anything you think you want, because
yeah.
Those desires are born out of a limited perspective of what you think will make you happy, and it's more about controlling conditions in order to feel good than really moving towards the authentic version of you that you intended to be and experiencing those things that you came to experience, which are primarily the authentic, unconditional love and acceptance of others.
Yeah.
Without the need for them to reciprocate that love in any specific way.
Yes.
The experience of abundance and freedom, which is all in your mind anyway. You could be as free living in a marriage as you are now.
Yeah.
The perceived lack of freedom has nothing to do with the marriage.
Yeah.
It has to do with the limitation of your thoughts. And you came here to expand through experience, which you're doing every day.
Yeah.
And then you came here to explore one or more specific nuances of life, which you've probably explored more than long enough. And now you
I'm on the other side of that one. I'm on the other side of it.
Now you can just enjoy what you choose to enjoy based on the preferences that you've developed through your short time here.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to talk?
I'll go. This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, Joshua. I had a really humongous, ginormous, gigantic manifestation event that happened this weekend.
So what you're saying is you were exposed to a highly limiting belief.
Yeah, I think more than one. I think like a lot of limiting beliefs, and it got like kind of literally explosive.
What was the limiting belief that was top
of that
list? What
was the limiting? That I need support from somebody else to be.
That is a giant limiting belief. Because here you are, the creator of your reality, the supreme being in existence, the center of your universe, the only one who can create your reality. If you are the creator of your reality and you perceive you need help from anyone else to create your reality, that and being the being that we know you are, the powerful creator, the magnificent explorer, the superhero that we know you are, that is the most limiting belief that you can have. And the intensity of that limiting belief is the limitation that is holding you apart from who you really are. And since you are called to be so much more than you are, these limiting beliefs have to be addressed now while you're young.
Yeah.
And as you keep resisting them, the manifestation events have to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I think the confusing part for me is clarity, like clarity in my decisions, clarity with the other half being like acceptance, right? Like accept what is showing up and accept it, accept it, accept it.
Okay. So which is more difficult, to accept what's showing up or to have clarity? Mm. So you can't have clarity until you have acceptance, because in the resistance to what is showing up, you see the illusion created by your limiting beliefs and fear. See, fear causes the illusion that things are wrong when they're perfectly right.
I think it's the accept. For me, it seems like the acceptance, what it feels like, and what it feels like is accepting when other people want to, or what seems like they want to control your actions or control your decisions.
That if it seems like others are trying to control you, then from your perception, everything you're doing is wrong. Right? Because they wouldn't control you if you were being right. If you were doing things how they perceived as right, they wouldn't control you. So from your perception, you're perceiving what you're doing is wrong. Because certainly it is wrong based on the standard Western societal mantra of good and bad, right and wrong, good and evil. And this is what you came to explore. And so you set yourself up with this specific limiting belief so that you could be drawn towards a a teachings or information that could lead you out of this limiting belief. And the teaching is that you are the sovereign creator of your reality, that you are the center of your universe, that you are more magnificent and limitless than you could ever imagine, and that primarily you are a being of love and acceptance, and in that love and acceptance, you have to accept others in whatever they choose to do. And if they choose to control you, you have to accept that they just don't have as much information as you do, that they are operating on a basis of fear. And then their fear causes them to ask you to be different than you are so that their fear can be alleviated. Because unless you comply, they believe that their fear will continue and they don't want that fear to continue. It's like putting their hand on a hot stove and you're the only one who can remove it because they're unable to remove their own hand from the hot stove. And so they'll ask you to remove their hand. But by doing that, you have to be the limited version of you. You can't be the powerful version of you. But you're being called to be the powerful version of you. And that call is very strong. And that's why these manifestation events have to be so intense for you. So that you finally say, enough is enough. I will be who I'm called to be, regardless of what anyone thinks. And I don't need them. And in your idea that you need them, you care what they think. Because if you didn't care what you think, you believe that you would lose them. And in that losing them, you believe that you couldn't manage it. That you couldn't manage it. However, you couldn't manage it. But that's not true. This is your crutch. This is exactly what you have to go through. You have to understand that you are the sovereign creator of your reality and that you and your inner self and your millions of guides and supporters in the universe will figure it out. But if you prevent yourself from moving forward in fear, if you prevent yourself from acting on inspired ideas and thoughts, if you prevent yourself from getting into alignment because you think things are going wrong, you're not going to have access to the to what you need to have to move you forward to who you really are. And we are very serious when we say, and it's very difficult for us to be serious, as you know, but you are being called to something so much higher than you, and your calling is so strong, and your intentions you set to, prior to your birth are so strong that the resistance that you have based on your idea of worthiness, of your own worthiness, is causing you to not take steps forward. Now, having said that, we will say that you have taken great leaps forward from where you were a couple years ago. You have done things and had experiences that you never thought were possible. So you're playing this tug of war between what you know is possible and the limitations that are imposed to you by fear. You're not alone in this. The primary limiting factor in physical reality are these irrational fears. And as humanity as a whole gains more control over the quality and direction of their life, their fundamental urge is to control these negative emotions caused by fear. And so they play it safer and safer and safer and engage in more and more and more control. But as you know, people are experiencing complete lack of satisfaction in life. Now, this is a phenomenon brought on by wealth and control. If you are poor your entire life, well, you perceive that everyone's poor, that that's just how things are, that you don't have much control anyway. That's just how life is. Yet if you're given the opportunity to do anything in this reality and have the means to do it, and so you do what generations ago thought would be the best thing to do, and you become successful or whatever it is, and you become mean, you know, you control conditions to the extent that you can, and you build up this life based on this Western philosophy, and then you come to this point where it's completely meaningless and gives you no satisfaction, it's very hard to get out of that. You have to wait until you're much older to realize what you've been doing. At your age, there's a greater calling, and you can see the meaningless acquisition of things and status and money. That doesn't mean anything. You aren't here to acquire things. You are here to expand and experience to become who you really are.
Yeah.
So most people deny that calling towards more, or they try to manifest it in some way in a traditional Western lifestyle, and it leads to frustration, and it leads to feelings of stagnation. And here your life caused you to reach for ideas that are beyond the reach of most people. And that's why there's a small group gathered here to talk about these things. So you have to know that you know more than other people, that you have the ability to process fear, that you are the center of your universe, that you are more magnificent than you're allowing yourself to be, that you are called to be who you really are, and that you are resisting it based on your idea that you're not worthy of anything. And yet you are proving yourself more and more worthy as you go along by experiencing things that you didn't think you could experience before. And so this tug of war is getting intense. And until you realize that you're just going to have to be your own person, you're just going to have to do it on your own, you're just going to have faith that you're going to figure it out, you're always going to face these manifestation events, because the primary, most stifling limiting belief is the limiting belief that you need anyone else other than yourself to create the life that you dream of.
Yeah.
If we had a microphone, we'd drop it.
Yeah, I can see how that belief has, like this is the timing for this to happen is matching my confidence and how it was different from just a few months ago, and the fact that I can, or like how when I put my focus on something, I can create it, even though it doesn't seem like it at first. But I think mostly what I can see being challenging for other people who might find themselves in a similar situation is like when other people are in your face telling you things about yourself that upon analyzation are not true, but I can see how when you hear things like, you know, you're not good or you're bad or you're selfish or all of those things, how if nobody knows it, they can believe it.
Certainly.
If they don't know that, that's not true.
Certainly that's true. Yet, we will say a few things here. If you're involved in the old approach to life, where you're behaving inauthentically in order to receive love and approval from others, then the love and approval that you receive is also inauthentic, because it doesn't reflect on you. It reflects on this version of you that you're being just to receive what you consider approval. And you were taught this, and so was everyone else. But if you go down this path of being inauthentic and trying to capture other people's approval of you, and therefore acceptance and love, you can only do it by being the inauthentic version, the very limited version of you. And that version is so limited that it doesn't cause them to feel any fear. If you were who you really were, you would cause so much fear in those, but you would say, fine, you wouldn't care. That's their problem. Let them find their own limiting beliefs. You see, if you cause them fear, you've triggered one of their limiting beliefs. Good for you. That's excellent. They have a chance to take a new perspective. But if you succumb to their demands on you and be this inauthentic version of you, you're certainly not helping you, and you're certainly not helping them. You're just being limited. You're staying down. You're being small so that they can feel better. But you weren't here to be small. You were here to be, we will say, much, much bigger than Oprah. Much, much, much more authentic than Lady Gaga. Much, much more wise, with access to information that those out there do not have. And then to lead by this example of coming from a place of true feelings of unworthiness to true feelings of authenticity. That's your story anyway. You're going to be an example to people anyway. No matter how much you expand, You're going to be an example of expansion. But the more you expand, the more you allow yourself to be the authentic, true version of you, the greater your example will be, the greater your impact on others will be, the more you will be able to bring out the authenticity in others who are going through the exact same thing that you're going through. And since this is the most widespread exploration of physical reality, that of worthiness, that of coming from unworthiness to a greater place, we will say that there are billions waiting for you. It's not just you. There are billions waiting to learn from your example. That is the potential.
Okay. I guess the other aspect that I'm learning is my habit to still think that people know more than I do, especially in this case, when it involves like the teachings and consciousness and things like that. My habit to... Yes.
That is true of all spiritual leaders and teachers. Everyone has doubt. It is difficult for people to understand their access to information. The comparisons to others who they feel are greater causes them to have doubt. Doubt will never serve you. You know more than almost all spiritual teachers who have ever lived right now in this moment. You have access to information based on your vibration and what you've gone through that they will not have access to, that they couldn't fathom. If you imagine that that you are causing us to reach for information to come through Gary in such a way that has never been explained like this before. And so your desire is causing us to reach for information. That's why it's so exhilarating for us to have this conversation with you all. Because you are taking us to places that we could not reach on our own because we don't have the desires. We aren't going through the contrast. You're going through the contrast. And this allows us to reach for higher. And so those who you think are great leaders and teachers do not have access to what you have because you know the foundation. The foundation is there is no wrong. Will you show us a great spiritual leader and teacher who will say those words as we've said them? Mm-hmm. You know this fact. That gives you more information. You know what's going on with physical reality and non-physical reality. You know the mechanism. You know the laws of the universe. You know so much more that others do not have access to. And they don't have access to. If they had access to, they'd be here on this call. They'd be reading the books. They'd be doing the work. They have access to that which their personal contrast has brought them to the expansion that they have gone to as much of the limitations that they've dropped on their own. You are at a higher vibration. You have access to more. By thinking that you have less knowledge than them is a form of control. It's a way that you can justify being small. Your inner self will never allow you to do that because your inner self knows who you are. So the negative emotion you feel is your disagreement with your inner self. You're saying, I wish I could stay small. Your inner self is saying, we know who you really are.
I guess it's just confusing. It's confusing to hear this and then hear.
Are you meditating? Are you meditating?
Yes.
Are you talking to your inner self?
No. I am, but I'm not. It's like I don't trust my inner self completely.
You trust the other people?
Not less and less, less and less. When I hear messages like there is wrong, that is wrong.
Don't tell those people there's no wrong. Keep that to yourself. Tell the people who are ready to hear it. You're bumping up against people who are not ready to hear it. And you're doing this on purpose, by the way. You're doing it so that you can stay small.
Yeah.
So that you can be proven wrong. So that you can, not wrong in what you know, but wrong in your ability to to transfer the information. Wrong in your ability to teach. Wrong in your...
If I didn't have this call, or if I didn't have the people who I was able to talk to over the weekend who are involved in this or involved in these teachings, I wouldn't have been able to... I wouldn't have known, like...
Yes, you would have.
Well, you know...
You would have found people.
I wouldn't have believed... Okay.
You would have found others. But what you're doing here is you're exploring who you are. Who you're, the limited version of you and the most magnificent version of you. And you're playing with that. And you can play with this as long as you want. And eventually it will lead you there. You have to remember that you are new at this. You don't have to be an expert right away. There is a process to this. And this, you're in the process right now. And the process is not wrong. It's all part of it. The pain that you're going through right now is causing you to seek more, which is a very good thing, and reach for higher places and figure it out. And that's what you're doing. And we applaud you for that.
Thank you.
We think that everything you're doing is right, that it's all going perfectly, that your perspective is a bit limited. And in the future, you will see all of this through much clearer glasses than the ones you're wearing right now. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you. Thank you.
You guys are welcome. That was fun.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That was amazing.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.